Perek Samachei Pasek Chaf. Okay, again, Perek Samachei Pasek Chaf. Lo yem misham od ul yomim v'zokin eshelimale es yamav. We are continuing what's going to be at the time of Mashiach, time of Olam Haba. Previous Pesukim mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And then it says Hashem is going to rename, or is going to call the Yerushalayim by the name of Gila, and is going to call the people, Klal Yisrael, by a new name of Mosos. And Hashem will rejoice in Yerushalayim, rejoice in His nation Klal Yisrael, and will no longer be heard the call of cry and the call of screaming. And now we continue discussing the incredible baracha that will exist at this point in time. Lo yeh misham, there will no longer be misham from then, od anymore. Ul yom, ul means young, a young person. Where does that come from? Katan biyamim v'hum lashon oylel. Ul comes from the word oylel v'yoynek, an infant. Ul yamim or v'zaken, even a zaken, from one to the other. Ashalo yimalei esyamav, that will not live out his days. Everyone will live a full life. Ki hanar b'nei ashana yamus. Now, it's a little bit of a contradiction, because here it goes on to say, if it will happen that a nar, a person, will be b'nei ashana, if he will die when he is 100 years old, people will mourn and say, what a tragedy, such a young person has died. Today, if someone's 100 years old, no one's mourning that he was young. Okay, they're mourning that a person has died, but they're not mourning that a young person has died. What? What?
It wasn't untimely.
It wasn't untimely. They still mourn, but it's not. It's not untimely. But yet, at this point in time, people will live like the time of Adam Harishon, where people lived until Adam was supposed to live for 1,000 years. He lived 930. He gave away, according to the Medrash, 70 years to David HaMelech. But people lived well into their 900s. So a person will die when they are 100 years old. That's like a young man has died. Ki hanar ben meyo shono yamos v'hachoyte ben meyo shono yikulul. A person that's choyte means someone who's missing. The more little translation of, we translate choyte as a sinner. What does it mean, a person has sinned? It means he's missing, he's lacking. He's lacking, he has not fulfilled what he was charged to do.
Actually missed the target.
Chet, to miss. When you shoot an arrow and you miss the target. So the hachoyte, a person who is missing, ben mea shana yikulo. That's a difficult expression. Let's see exactly how this pasuk is translated here in the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David says, Ki hanar ben mea shana yamos rotsu lema, im yamos mi ben mea shanim, yomor lov narmeis. If a person dies at the age of 100, they will say about him, what a shame, he died young. Okay, the next part is more complicated. V'hachoyte. Hachoyte means, in this context, not a sinner. Hanechsar min ha'olam. A person that is missing from the world. This is poetic repetition. And here we're using the word choyte in reference to a person who yamos. It parallels the word yamos for hachoyte, missing min olam, kishia ben meya shana, liklolo techoshev. It will be considered a curse. How could such a horrible thing happen that a person dies at the age of 100? Ki od nar lufimar bischai honoshim shiyaz, because people will live at that point in time for hundreds of years. So here the word, this last expression, very unique, vehachoyte ben meya shana. Yikulo, you have to add a lot of words in to explain this pasuk. A person that's missing from this world. And missing from this world means he has died. If he is ben mei shana, so now the word yikulo, have to pad it with many words. It will be considered a curse. How could such a thing happen? Yeah?
There's another meaning for v'chite es ha-mikdash.
Purify. To purify.
Cleaning out.
To clean out that which is tamei. Okay, the same word. How they're all related. Okay, nechanami. Okay, so this is pasuk chavalef. Uvanu vatim v'yashavu. You will build batim. At this point in time, you will reestablish Eretz Yisrael. You will build batim v'yashavu. You will dwell there. V'natu kramim. You will plant vineyards. V'yachlu piryam. And you lead it through. What is the significance over here? The significance is there those who go to war. Last week's 2 weeks ago, Parashat Shoiv, the person goes to war. The Meshuach Muhammad says, Miu ish asher nato kerem v'loi chililo yelech v'yashuv lidei. So why? Because maybe someone else will inherit his vineyard and the mechalel bring up the net revai of his vineyard. Miu ish asher bona bayis v'lo chanocho yelech v'yashuv lidei. So penyamos pamuchama v'ish acher, another person will live in his house. So it's exactly what it says over here. It says over here these two things, uvonu vatim v'yashavu. It's not going to happen, the agmas nefesh of dying, of building a house and not meriting, not having the schus to live in the house. The natu chiramim, you will plant a vineyard and you will be mechal. It's not going to happen that a person will die young and miss out on enjoying the fruit of his vineyard. Lo yivnu. Now the pasuk goes in the labyrinth. Lo yivnu v'yacher yeshev. You will not build and someone else will live in your house. Lo yitu. You will not plant v'yacher yechel. Ki chinei ha'etz yimei ami. So this part goes on to say people will live very, very long lives. It's because normally when you build something, you plant something, so a person's life is short. It could be until the house is ready to live and you stop building a house, until you stop planting a vineyard, until you see the fruits, until you're able to live in the house. The person by that time already, he's too old, he will die. That's not going to happen because people are going to live very long lives, just like trees. The typical tree, I don't know the age. What's the age of a typical tree? I don't know autonomy. But there are trees in California that are... What?
Redwoods.
The redwoods, how old are they? 1,000 years old. They're humongous. They're the trunk. They have wings. They can actually figure out almost their exact age. They're hundreds of years old, some of these trees. And even a regular tree, go to the park. How old some of these trees are? 150 years old. Easy. Go down your block. Some of the trees on this neighborhood, they were planted here in the beginning of the 20th century. They're 100 years old. Kikimei ho'etz yimei ami. Just like a tree lasts for a very long time, that's how long the number of days of my people will live. Let's see over here. Umaaseh yideihem. Now this is another very important expression. Umaaseh yideihem yivalu v'chiroi, and the work of their hands will wither by my chosen ones. Now let me explain it outside first, and we'll read inside the Mitzvot that normally when a person builds something, the product of his hands outlives the person. The person withers, the person dies, and the product of his labor outlives him. Person builds a bridge, you build the Brooklyn Bridge, the people who build the Brooklyn Bridge, they're not here anymore. They're gone. So the bridge has outlived the product of man's labor outlives him. That's not the way it's going to be. People will live longer than the work of their hands. They will build houses. How long does a house last? It lasts 100 years, 200 years. People will outlive the product of their hand. Let's see the Mitzudos Tavod inside. Kimei ho'etz pasuk ha'beis. Kimei etz. Kimei meshech zman amidas ho'etz ha'mitzkayim harbei. Ki ilon choruf, like a carob tree. Uchidoyme. Kimei etz hazeh yihiyah yimei ami. Just like these type of trees, they last for hundreds of years. That's how long people will live at this point in time. Umaaseh, and the work of your hand, yivalu. Umaaseh yideihem yivalu v'chiroi. My chosen ones. What does that mean? Kiyesh ma'asim. So it's a point in Mitzudos. Kiyesh ma'asim shiyaseh odam v'hu yaskin. There are things that people do. There are actions people perform. Structures people build. And the person gets old. V'heim, but the product of their labor, Adayin Nirim Chadoshim. But what they've done appears to be brand new. For example, kibinyan, like structures. People build houses. After 50 years, the house, if you take care of it, looks like it's brand new. But the person looks in the mirror, he doesn't look like he's brand new. He looks a little different than he was 50 years ago.
Brand old.
The person writes something down on a piece of paper. So we all have, you take out a piece of paper, you wrote things 50 years ago, it's like you wrote it today, nothing has changed. Pictures, photography. I mean, pictures today, you know, they last for a very long time. Therefore, Amar, Hashem says, Ami v'chiroi, my chosen people. You have to read the words backwards. It's a hard words to translate. My chosen people. Yivalu, it will be the other way around. They will outlive Maaseh Yideihem. They will outlive the work of their hands. Kihem Yiru Bachurim V'chazokim. They will appear to be healthy, strong and healthy. Umaaseh Yideihem. And the product of their labor, Yazkinu V'yirkovu B'mehem, will get old and will rot in their days. It's an incredible bracha, unbelievable bracha. So we take those words in the end of the pasuk, Maaseh Yideihem Yivalu V'chiroi. You read it backwards. V'chiroi, my chosen ones, Klal Yisrael, Yivalu, they will outlive, they will live to see the withering of Maaseh Yideihem. So you read the words backwards, it makes a lot more sense. It's much easier to translate. Yivichiroi, my chosen ones, Klal Yisrael, Yivalu, they will live to see the withering of Maaseh Yideihem, of the product of their labor. Pasik Chof Gimel Lo Yigu Lorik V'lo Yeldu La Behol. This is what we say in the evening. Shlamig Al Rik V'lo Neidu La Behola. This is what we say. We always mention this, that the Nusach HaTfilo all comes from Tanakh. Everything, all the nuances. I have an example of that today. I have that in the Daf Yomi section. But Lo Yigu Lorik V'lo Yeldu La Behola. At this point, the people will not work for nothing. And not yeldu, give birth, yeldu, produce children, la behola. Behola is another word which parallels rik for nothingness, for waste. There's no mitzudo sion on this. Just okay, la behola. Well, we perish in a moment. Ki zera beruchei Hashem heima, they are seed of the blessed of Hashem, v'tse'et so'ehem itam, and their children will always be with them. Now, what exactly does all this mean? So let me read you the mitzudas, let me read you a medrash. The mitzuda says, lo yigal lo yeh, so right away the mitzvah, see, right away he's telling us what the midrash is going to say, and really what the pasuk says. They will not have the children, the brachir's children will not die in the lifetime of their parents. Lahavil oisam, lahavil means to confuse them. When such a tragedy happens, people are very traumatized. Lahavil oisam, kavlova bimilim shonis. Kizera, kizaram hima zerberuchi Hashem lo yamusu b'koyt ser shonim. Kitzet soem itam. Kol yimeim yu tzetzveim imam ki lo yumsu b'chayim v'kof odavar. It says three times. They will not work, raise children l'rik, v'lo yeldu l'behod, v'na kibbut l'behola, ki zera b'ruchi Hashem heima, their children are blessed, v'tzetzveim imam, their children are with them. Let me read the Medrash, the Medrash, Tanchuma. He raises the child, puts a lot of work into the child. He takes him to the cheder. He studies with him. For whatever reason, we do not know, because of the sins, due to sin, the child dies. Well, whose sin? It's not clear. The father's sin, the child's sin, these are things which are not known. And the father does not have simcha. Why is that so? Because in this world is a yetzer al yidei sheyetzer hara motzui bochem atem choytim, parents sin, ubeneichem meisim, and children die. We don't know what that means. Avol asalavo ani meisir yetzer hara mibeneichem umoylidim atem, you'll have children usmeichem shenemar this pasuk lo yigalurik lo yelu labaholu kizer bruchi Hashem heima v'tzed so emimah itam, their children will always be with them, their children will never leave the world before the parent. So the Rashi and the Mitzudas really is taking the parish Poshpshat from this Medrash Tanchuma. Okay, Pasuk Mem Chav Daliv, Hoyoter Mikrov Ani Eneh. This is a famous Pasuk. We say this on a Tainis, and we say this on Slichos, say this on the Yavim Nairoim. It will be before you call out, Terem Yikrohu Vani Eneh. Before you call out, Hashem already knows what your Kavan is. I will answer you. Od hey medarim, while they are speaking, va'ani eshma, I already will listen to your prayers. The Mitzudo says, v'hoya tem yikroh pam ene lohem lamalos shelos levavam ad lo yikrohu lehispal lebepeh. Lepamim, sometimes, so it all depends on the situation. Sometimes Hashem will answer us even before we begin to doubt. Hashem knows our thoughts, but sometimes we have to at least do a little bit. It's not clear why, when we need to speak up, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu already will hear our tefillah before we even speak. Let me read you a medrash, another Tanchuma. So the question is, does it steal? Here the medrash is addressing this contradiction. The kosha, this appears to the medrash, shesoyser soif hakosav l'tchilosei, shebetchilosei amar, terem yikrohu v'ani e'eneh, v'asoif amar, shirak la'achar shehem medarim yishma. The pasuk in the beginning says Hashem will answer us before we even begin to speak. Hashem knows our thoughts. And the end of the pasuk indicates Hashem will only answer us after we begin to pray. So there appears to be a contradiction.
Is the yishma the same washing as eneh?
I think that makes the question even stronger, because Eshma does not mean Hashem will answer. Eshma means I will listen. I will listen means I will consider your request, but I will not answer. So then it should be the other way. So in the beginning of the pasuk, Hashem already is answering. We have done absolutely nothing. We have just had thought, a thought of prayer, and Hashem already has gone to the extreme. He already has answered us.
Right.
At the end of the pasuk says, even though we're working hard, we're davening, we're praying, we're exerting ourselves, Hashem will not answer us. He will only listen to our prayer, consider our request, but not actually fulfill our request. So it's even a greater question. So the Mitzudos really, really answer the question. He says, Pa'amim, it all depends on the situation. Every situation is different. Sometimes Hashem answers us right away, sometimes not. Not everything that you want, Hashem will give you. There are other considerations to take into, there are other things to take into consideration. But the Medrash here gives another very interesting answer. The answer it gives is, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Zuchus HaTorah She'atem Asukim Bo Hayisi Makshe V'Shomer Tefilo Seichem. And that's Mashe Nemar Oit medabrim bedivrei tovani eshma avlo olam haba shloi timu. So the end of the pasuk is od he medabrim. Let me just read the whole medrash, and then we'll come back and explain this tanchuma parshas emor. Parshas emor simin chav gimel avlo olam haba shloi oid. So the way the Tanchuma, there needs more elaboration. I don't know; it's not clear. Is the beginning of the pasuk refers to Olam Haba? Olam Haba is a spiritual world, and there Machshava alone is sufficient. Okay, so we're dealing with two different kufos of world history. Olam Haba v'Hoya. Terem yikro vani ene, period. But in this world, the way we know it, od he medabrim vani eshma. We need a little bit more, we need dibur. And the Medrash Tanchuma says, what kind of dibur? Not just prayer, we need zuchusim. And the zuchus that must accompany our tefillah must be divrei Torah. The dibur here refers to words of Torah. That is how it explains it. Okay, there's another interesting medrash where the medrash picks up on the repetition of the word va'ani va'ani. The pasuk says va'ani twice. V'hoya term yikrahu va'ani e'ene. Oid he medarim va'ani eshma. So why do we have the repetition of va'ani? So the medrash says shtei pa'amim hu oimer ba'pasuk va'ani va'ani. Why? Ela kol mi shehu oisar etzoyin hamakom mechavin esliboi b'tfila shomer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olam hazeh v'chein lo osid lavom. So one ani is in this world and one ani is in the next world. Okay, I don't really know the depth of what that means. Let's go further. Pasuk goes on to say Ze'edna, this theme appeared in the beginning of Yeshaya about the wolf, about different types of animals living in peace. Ze'ev v'tole yiru kecha. These two animals do not get along. Well, not that they get along, the ze'ev is a predator and the tole is always the victim. The wolves love to attack sheep. But and la'asalava, there will be peace. Hashem will put in the heart of the ze'ev not to harm the tle, the ze'ev, the wolf, the tle, and the sheep yirukei achad, will graze together. The aryeh kabokar yochal teven, the lion will be just like bokar, cattle, and will eat straw. Now that's very, when we learn being a Yishai, that's very difficult to understand, because the aryeh's stomach, I don't know all the fancy English words of the anatomy of the animal and all these different terms which are used to explain these concepts, but the stomach and the digestive system of a lion is not suited to eat straw. So there is a discussion among the commentators what this pasuk means here and what it means in the beginning of Yeshaya, where the same thing is discussed. So some go on to say such extreme measures that in a chanami there's going to be like what we would call evolution. There's going to be some type of change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause their system, their digestive system, to evolve into a different type of digestive system where they'll be able to consume straw and vegetation and not need to take the life of another creature. There will be such an intense degree of sanctity that will come down to this world, even animals will sense it's not their place to take the life of another creature to satisfy its desires. And that means it's going to need to have, but it needs meat, that's what it needs to eat. Hashem will assist the lions and will cause it to develop other, a new type of digestive system where it can survive on vegetations, just vegetables. Vegetarians, the animals will be vegetarians, but we won't. We will not be, because we need to bring karbanos. We will be on the madrega. We will be able to eat meat. That's what it appears. V'nachash ofer lachmo. Nachash, it will be satisfied with offer. In other words, it's not going to want to sting. Nachash, why does a nachash sting and bite humans and kill them, poison? Because nachash, in his convoluted mind, thinks maybe it's possible for me to enjoy to eat basar, meat. And therefore he says, let me take a bite out of human flesh. Now, it's not going to work, but the Nachash has a desire. That's what this pasuk appears to be saying. The reason why snakes and scorpions bite human beings is because the snake fools itself in thinking it can derive satisfaction from taking a bite out of human beings, sucking its blood or eating some of its flesh, and therefore it tries, and in the process of trying to do so it releases poison and kills human beings. But the asalav of the nachash will no longer have a desire to eat human beings, to eat flesh, to suck blood. It will be satisfied with the offer, and therefore there will be no danger. Little children will be able to play with the most dangerous snakes and scorpions, and there will be no danger that the snake and the scorpion will bite the child, because the only reason why it would bite the child was because the snake wants to suck its blood or to enjoy the taste of its flesh. But the snake has no desire. It's satisfied with licking the dust of the earth as Hashem cursed it in the time of Maaseh Bereishis. Also, this pasuk is used as a source that the klala of the nachash is so great, and it's even going to extend into the time of La'aslav. This is a famous medrash from Nachash HaKadmoini. The Nachash HaKadmoini, its curse was much more severe than the curse of man. Adam, Chav, we learned last week on Friday, there were four curses. Nachash was cursed, Adam was cursed, Chav was cursed, and the earth was cursed. So from the other three, I'm not exactly sure of the exact details, it appears there will be tikkun. The time will come when all of the curses that were given to men and Chava, be'etzev tel dibanim, shall no longer suffer in child and labor, and men will no longer die. All of the curse in the earth will once again will produce
the earth will produce
ready-made food without, you'll be able to eat bark. It will no longer be ate sapri or whatever. There won't be soilless. There won't be any. Everything will produce fruits, but the nachash, there is no tikkun. The nachash, the curse of the nachash will remain forever and ever, and that's what it says here in the pasuk. Even though the aryeh kabokar yochal teven, we're going to have this incredible thing. The lion's going to eat teven. Go give a lion teven today. It'll look at you like you're crazy. I'm not eating teven. My stomach can't handle this. What? But it's going to happen. But the nachash will still have to be satisfied with offer. That's not going to change. And then the pasuk concludes, lo yareyu, v'lo yashchisu. They're not going to cause harm. They're not going to destroy. B'chol harkotshi, omar Hashem. So says Hashem. That will be at this point in time. Let's see the Rashi, and then I'll show you some midrashim. Yochal teven, v'lo yitzarech lahashchis badehema. Okay, it's a fascinating concept that animals, we discussed this in the Daf Yomi section. Is there such a thing of hashkocha protest by animals? What exactly do animals know? Are they aware? Do they have a sensitivity that they're taking the life of their prey? Here it seems to be saying yes. It will no longer be necessary, even from their point of view, from their perspective, to cause hashchosa among the animal world. And they'll be satisfied with Tevin. V'lo yitztarech lahashchis babehema. V'nachash hari ofer lachmai motzu loy tadir. U'medrash agada. The nachash will always have its offer. Well, that was part of its curse. U'medrash agada. V'ari kibok yochal Tevin. L'fi shematzinu she'esav. Okay, he's now going to the medrash, which I'm going to quote to you in more detail in one moment. But let's see what Rashi here says. L'fi shematzinu she'esav nefel biyad b'nei Yosef she'nemar. Base Esav lekash, Esav will be straw. Base Yosef lahava, Yosef will be a flame. Aval biyad bnei shor shvatim shenimshul lechayos leimotzinu. But among the other shvatim, we do not find that Esav will fall in the hands of the other shvatim. We only find Esav falling in the hands of Yosef. Esav in the Medrash is the Kash. Yosef is the Esh, is the fire. But what about the other shvatim? Will they have the power to conquer Esav? Lekach nemar. That's why it says here, the Arye kabokor yoichal teven. Oysam hashvatim shenim shalu ke Arye. Kigon Yehuda v'Don. Yehuda's an Arye, and Don is an Arye. Ki Yosef shenim shel kishor. It's an unbelievable medrash, a beautiful medrash. They will be just like Ki Yosef shenim shel kishor. Yoichal oisoi. They will eat Esav shenim shel ketevin. Wow, what a medrash! So again, let's review the medrash over here. We have over here the pasuk over here says the Arye kabokar yoichal teven. Who's the bokar? The bokar is Yosef. Bechor Shor Hador Lo. In the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's called the Bechor. He's called the firstborn to Rachel. He was meant to really be the Bechor in Lechatchila, the story where Lavan switched Leah and Rachel. He was meant to be the Bechor Shoroi Hador Lo. He's called an axe. So Yosef is the Shor. And Yosef is the one, the Hoya base Yosef Le'esh, who base Esav Le'kash. The Esh will consume the Asalavo, Klal Yisrael will conquer Esav, the Umas Ha'ilam. And this part, but what about the other Shvatim? So the other Shvatim from, now this is where I want to get a little bit bayer into what it says, into what Rashi says, the Aryeh. Arye is only two shvatim. In the brachos of there are two sets of brachos. In the brachos of Yaakov, who is called the Arye? Yehuda. Gur Arye Yehuda. And who is called the Arye in the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu v'Zos HaBracha? Uladon Omar. Don Gur Arye. Now, what's the significance of Yehuda and Don? Yehuda is the greatest of the Shvatim. Don is the Pechusim Shebeshvatim. Ma'asef l'chol ha'machanois is the Pechusim. So from the beginning up, from the greatest of the Shvatim to the lowest of the Shvatim, from beginning to end, they will be equivalent to Yosef. They will be just like the Bakar, the Aryeh, the beginning to the end will be just like Yosef, and they also be Yoichal Tevin, have the koyach to consume Esav that is called the Tevin. Period. And the Nachash of Alachma lo yoreu v'lo yashchitzu b'chol b'chol harkotshi omar Hashem. They will not cause harm and damage in my Tarnatim. Now, just Derech Agav, I once discussed this with you, that in many Bati Kinesios, on Bati Kinesios we have on top of the Aron, we have lions. We once discussed this in the Minog section of the Tzur of the Beis HaKnesses. Why are there lions on top of the around the Luchos? And the Sharblat, every Daf Gemara, right, even out of Yamazeh, you always have the Sharblat of a Gemara, you have on top lions. Why are there lions? So it's not really known. One thing we do know, that they dug up in Egypt, they dug up in an ancient synagogue in Egypt, and they found lions. The question is, how far back does this minhag go of having lions? They used to have real lions, the whole shiloh of Avodah Zarah, a Pesel, and they used to have pictures of lions, top of the luchos. How far does it go back? It seems like it goes back very, very far, even 1,000 years. If I read it, this 400 years for sure went back. But did it go back more than 400 years? So it seems that they found sources, they've done some archaeological digs, they found even 1,000 years. There is a great discussion, much discussion about if it's proper to have lions. Many Gedolei Yisrael were against it. They felt that what it's all about, it's Avodah Zarah, it comes from the Goyim. In the churches they have these type of angels and these type of symbols, Kruvim, and
cherubs.
And we're coming to copy them. It's a form of Avodah Zarah. So there were many Gedolei Yisrael that were not so happy. And in fact, today, it's much less in style. If you go to a new shul today, everything is changed. Like today, they don't put the luchos on anymore. So modern world with things. But it used to be very popular. I'm sure you all seen. You all grew up. Everyone here, without doubt, grew up in a shul where on the paroches there were the luchos and there were two lions. It cannot be that everyone here did not. What?
Stained
glass windows with lions. Yeah. For some reason, I don't know, the lions are just not popular anymore. The new shuls don't do it. Okay, they have shvatim, okay, but okay, whatever the reason, but I wanted to say a drush is, who was the one who built the, this is Chazar, we once discussed, who was the one who built the Mishkan? Who were the master craftsmen of the Mishkan? There were two people, Bezalel and Aholiyah ben Achi Samach. Who is Bezalel? Lamate Yehuda, Ur ben Chur, what's his whole name? Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur, Lamate Yehuda, and Aholiyah ben Achi Samach, Lamate Don. And Rashi tells us why Yehuda and Don? Because Yehuda is from the Chashuvim, from the most Choshev of the Shvatim, and Dan is from the Pechusim, the most insignificant of the Shvatim. To tell you, everyone in Klal Yisrael has a chelik in the Mishkan. No one should come to the Mishkan and say, oh, it's not for me, or leave, you have no part, it's only for the elite, only for Shevet Yehuda, only for the Chashuvim, only for the Pechusim. Everyone in Klal Yisrael has a chelik in the Mishkan. And that's why in the come to Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaKnesses is a Mishkan Na'at. It's a form of the Mishkan. Who is a Shutef? Who is allowed to come into this Beis HaKnesses, the Mikdash Ma'at? Who has a Chelik in the Luchos, the Torah of the Mishkan Ma'at? Everyone, from Bezalel down to Aholiyah, from Yehuda, from the most Choshev of the Shvatim, to the Bechusim Shebeshvatim, to Don. Everyone has an equal chelik in the Mishkan. And you see that idea over here in this Rashi, talking about Yehoshua HaMashiach, when we're going to have the two lions. The lions are Yehuda and Don, will be equal to Yosef, and they will conquer Esav. Let me just tell you one more, at least one or two Midrashim before we conclude. Okay, who over here is the Tleh? Okay, we have over here the Ze'ev and the Tleh. In the beginning of the Pasuk, okay, the Pasuk Chof Hei. So we just read the Rashi that discussed in detail the Aryeh Kabok or Yoichal Tevin. But the beginning of the Pasuk talks about the Ze'ev and the Tleh. The Ze'ev and the Tleh. The Ze'ev is a predator, normally eats up the Tleh, will live in peace. Who are these? So according to the Medrash, Mihem HaZe'ev HaTleh. Ela Ze'ev Ze Binyamin. Ze'ev is Sheva Binyamin. Shenemar Binyamin, Ze'ev Yitrof. Utleh, Ela HaShvatim. All of the other Shvatim are called the Se, the famous Pasuk, Se Fizura Yisrael. Right, that's the classic Chagadya. Chagadya, who's the Gadya? Klal Yisrael. Everyone quotes, if you learn the Haggadah and you don't come across this pasuk when you read the Chagadya, get a different Haggadah. The Sef Zura Yisrael. Yiru Ke'echot. So there appears to be some tension between Binyamin and the other Shvatim. Why is there tension? Because the Beis Hamikdash was built in the Bechelik of Binyamin. Binyamin Yidid Hashem. Bein Kesaf of Yishkain. Why Binyamin was not a participant in the Bechiras Yosef? Binyamin was the only one that was born in Eretz Yisrael. He was born after they already entered. All the Shvatim were born by Lavan. They were born not in Canaan. They were born. The Yud Beis Shvatim were born outside Eretz Yisrael in Aram Naharayim by Lavan. And when Yosef went back and she died, Ba'od Kivras Eretz Lavoi Efrasa, she died already within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. That's a very big, very unique, that's a very significant thing. You know, United States, you can't be the president of the United States unless you're born in. Unless you're born in one of two countries.
Hawaii.
Either, no, not Hawaii, in Indonesia, or United States. You have to be born in one of two countries. See, there's the significance to where you're born. Right? There's significance. If you're born in Africa, you can't be the president. If you're born in Canada, Mexico, cannot be, even Israel, you cannot be the president of the United States. You have to be born either in Indonesia or in the United States of America. I'm going to get into a lot of trouble soon, right? But Ibn Yamin was the only one of the Shvat that was born in Eretz Yisrael. Ibn Yamin was the only one that did not participate in the Mechiras. There was another thing about Ibn Yamin. What's the third thing? I don't remember. There's a third thing, a significant thing about Ibn Yamin. I don't remember what it is. But Ibn Yamin is unique. So there's always this tension between Ibn Yamin and the other Shvat, and they're jealous. They're jealous of Binyamin. And Vahari Binyamin, it's only in his chelik of the land, according to one opinion, in which the Beis HaMikdash, the Iker part, the Mizbeach, and the Iker, the Hashras HaShchina, took place in the portion of Binyamin. So here it says, at the end of days, Binyamin is, the Zev is Binyamin, the Tlay is, the Tlay is the Shvatim, Sef Zur Yisrael, Yiru Ke'echot, they'll be at peace. A Mosai Kishyarad Binyamin Bin Echov Vahoyakov Aimer Lo Yered Bini Mochem. What happened at the end when they went to Mitzrayim? So Yosef told them, don't dare come back to me unless you bring with me your brother Binyamin. Kevon Shigihashov Yori Mohem Hoyu Matsinoi Soyim. They stood together on these two sides. So this is a reference that it's according to the Tanchuma. This is a reference to the past. It's not a prophecy for the future. It's telling us ze'ev v'tole yiru ke'echad. Well, I guess mice of a similar bonim. At that point in time, the brothers guarded with their life Binyamin. Because they knew if they don't return Binyamin back to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu would die. He could not suffer witness to see. Only with great difficulty did he agree to allow the Ben Yochid, Binyamin, who he had from Rachel, the only one left from Rachel, to go down with the brothers to Yosef. So the brothers guarded Binyamin with their life. Ze'ev Vitole Yiru Ke'echad. They will pasture together. They will be Bevasachas. All the other Shvatim will focus on making sure Binyamin is protected. Maisa Avos, Simin Labanim, at the time of Mashiach, Binyamin will play a special role, because Binyamin is, the Shevet Binyamin, his descendants, again, are pure. They have a certain purity that the other Shvatim do not have, being that he was born Eretz Yisrael, and being that he did not participate in the Mechiras Yosef. Memela Limos HaMashiach, Klal Yisrael will put a special protection, a special emphasis on Shevet Binyamin. Yiru Ke'echot. They will pasture together. The Sef Zura will guard the Ze'ev. Other way around. Normally the Ze'ev is the predator. And the Seh, the sheep, they're running away from the Ze'ev comes into town. Whew, the sheep are gone. Pumfakert. All of the sheep, they're going to guard the Ze'ev to make sure the Ze'ev is protected. Like when they went down to Yosef, the Mishnah Lamelech, they were all protected, because if they don't bring back Binyamin back alive to their father, haha, they're finished. So they pumped akert. And that's what's going to be also lafsalavo, even though the zev is the predator, it'll be the way. Okay, another medrash, another very nice medrash, this is Bereshis Rabosi. You know what that is? Bereshis Rabosi, Parashas Ayigash, Ve'arye, Broka Yechol Teven. So in this medrash, we're going to the end of the pasuk, the Arye and the Bakar. So we already learned from Rashi. Rashi already told us one Mahalach. The Arye is the two Shvatim, the Shevet of Yehuda and Don, and the Bakar is Yosef. This is a little bit different. Arye is Zemoshiach ben David. Arye refers to the Mashiach ben David, which is Arye is Yehuda. Right, there's two Aryes, Yehuda and Don. But let's only focus now on Yehuda, the descendant of Yehuda is Mashiach ben David. Shabam Yehuda, Shnigra Arye, Gurar Yehuda, Kabokar. Now you should know right away who that refers to. Is Yosef Moshiach ben Yosef? Moshiach ben Yosef. Shnigo Shosh Nevo Bchor Shoy. Yoichal Tavin Ma. What is Ma'u Ella L'Shul Ovar? Yerov ben Nevat Shem Me'Ephraim. In the past, Yerov ben Nevat took away the Malchus. They split the Malchus with the Rechab. That was yesterday's daf. In fact, I have a good word today in the daf Yomi section. That's yesterday's daf. Daf Lamed Hey. Chover Hu Le'ish Mashchis. Anyone that does not make a bracha. Person eats food and does not make a bracha, he is a chover to an ish mashchis. Who is this ish mashchis? Yeravam ben Nevat. What did he do? He was choyte amachte es Yisrael. He divided the malchus from Klal Yisrael, from Rechavam, took away the malchus, took 10 shvatim with him, and they divided the malchus, and he introduced Avodah Zarah in order to prevent Klal Yisrael from going the oil regal to Yerushalayim. He made his own Beis HaMikdash. In Don and Beisel, he set up idols. Everyone should come and worship the idols there, and there's no need to go to the Beis. So in the past, and who, where did he come from? Rabbi Nevat, from Shevet Ephraim, and that's why the Aseres HaShvatim is called on the name of Ephraim, and Ephraim is the son of Yosef, and Yosef is the Shor. And who is the Melech of Klal Yisrael? Rechavam. So there was friction between, there was a big machlekes, there was a civil wars for generations between Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda, Yishor. And the Shor versus the Aryeh. They were finding it out. There was contention. So Ella, in the past, there was never peace. There was civil war. That was what's going on. That's the whole story of Tanakh. Whole Sefer Melachim from beginning to end, there was division. But there'll be peace between these two segments of Klal Yisrael. And that's what it says in Yeshaya, way back, Paragid Aleph, Sarah Kinas Ephraim, the jealousy of Ephraim will go away. That the heve the zero kavonas akasif here in this pasuk, the arye kabokar yoichal teven. The arye shneim yidabru tevuno li Yisrael. Now teven, according to the measures of drasha, it means teven is tevuna. Tevuna means understanding, and yoichlu means they will eat. They will join together in one. In one mission, in one line of thought, in one thought process for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, v'lo yikanu zeh b'zeh. So that's another very interesting interpretation. V'aryeh kibok yuchal teved, Mashiach ben Yehud, ben David, together with Mashiach b'kibok, Mashiach ben Yosef, yuchal teved, they'll be together, it'll be achdos and Klal Yisrael, not like it was Daim Malachim. Okay, another Gemara of this, I think a well-known Gemara, Masech Yom, we all know this. And we have over here the Nachash eats the Lachmai. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yassi says, Afilu Oichel Kol, if a snake is cursed, even if you give the snake a gourmet meal, the best food from the best restaurant, the only thing that it tastes is offer. It has no sense of taste. That's the curse of the Nachash. Afilu Oichel Kol Madani Oilam Toim Bohem Tam Offer. Afilu Oichel Kol Madani Oilam Bein Ein Daitim Yeshevas Olav Ad Sheyachal Offer. Even worse, even if you'll give it the best food, it still has no satisfaction until it eats dessert. What's the dessert? Earth. That's what it needs. Tanya Amar Yossi Bor Eish Shaloi Kim Nisach L'Shparach L'Nisach L'Sadam. And this goes on to say this was the curse to the Nachash. The curse to the Nachash is wherever it goes, I read the whole thing. A person angers his friend, if you anger your friend, you take revenge. And you take revenge, you take away his parnas. That's the ultimate. Where does it hurt? It hurts in the wallet. That's the ultimate punishment. You can take revenge is you take away the parnasa. That's where it really hurts. Avakal Shbaruch Hu Enakein. Kilel Asanochash. Hashem cursed the Nachash, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided it with parnasa. The Nachash used to eat regular meals, regular food, and the cursed Nachash, Ochar Teichal Kol Yimei Chayecha, Ochar, will now eat earth, and that's the curse, Oy Lagag, Mizaynos of Imo, Yeri Lamata, Mizaynos of Imo, Shekol Makom Sholach, Yesh Loi, Mizaynos, but that really is the ultimate curse. That's the ultimate curse, because he doesn't need Hashem. A human being, he needs Hashem. He's lacking. He has to be mispalel. That's a bracha. It's a hidden bracha. You need to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A nachash never needs Hashem. He has everything he possibly needs. Okay, one last line. I know it's very late. V'nachash shal yofar lachmo l'akol mishrabim l'as love HaKadosh Shabim mitshevi makal kol. This is what we said before, that the Nachash is the only one that will not be healed from its curse. Even Las Lovo, it says here, Nachash, why? Mida keneged nida. The Nachash brought death into this world. What happens when a person dies? A person turns into dust. Ofer ata, v'el ofar ata toshuv. A person returns to ofar. The male of the mida keneged nida, Nachash, this what you've done to man, you've turned him to dust, you will always be dust. Your machal, your oicha will always be dust forever. Even when the rest of the world has refuah, you will remain with the curse of what you did to man, and you will only eat offer. Okay, that concludes Perek Samach. Hey, one more Perek to the end. And as I told you before, when we finish, we're going to do Sefer Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah. If anyone wants to sponsor the Sfarim, let me know. I would like to purchase about, 15, 20 Sifrei Daniel. So if anyone is interested in participating, please let me know, and we'll take care of it very quickly. Also, the next thing is I would like to make a Siyam. I would like very much to make a Siyam. Everyone, if your wives would like to come, that would be very nice. And we have to talk about when we will do this. Dr. Friedman mentioned that if we would like, we can do it. The shul would like very much to do it during Yeshalah Shudis, but that would have to take place after Sukkot, which is not so terrible. It's not such a long time to wait until after Sukkot. If you'd like to do that, that's one option, to have a Shalah Shudis. And you can come with your wives, I assume, right?
Or we can have it in the middle of the week, just us.
Yeah. Or if you want, we could spend the whole morning on it. We could have maybe get a guest speaker. If we could have, something like a breakfast, or maybe on a Friday morning. Maybe we can do something on a Friday morning, like a little brunch, breakfast, something like that.
Okay.
That might be a good idea. Okay, so we'll talk about it, think about it, and we'll. So maybe like next Friday, that would be maybe a nice thing to do with us. Next Friday, we're going to... A few days before Rosh Hashanah. Okay.